Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. My name is Dr. Michelle, and I'm your host tonight for your bedtime blessing. Welcome again back to the show. This is produced by Alabaster Woman Ministries. It is a ministry designed to encourage women to give God their best one day at a time. We don't give God our leftovers. We give Him the very best that we have. And that's what I have come to do to encourage you on Sunday nights. It's your bedtime blessing at 9:30 p.m. Again, my name is Dr. Michelle, and I'm so excited to have you on the show tonight. We are moving forward in 2013 because God is a God who makes all things new. He doesn't want you to go back into 2012. He doesn't want you to live in the past. He wants you to move forward in Him because He has a new life, new peace, new joy, new love for you. He has something for you, set aside just for you, and He wants you to move forward in Him. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you were joining me tonight. We had a special guest who had something to come up, so Prophetess Tara will not be with us tonight, but we are trying to get her back on the show another night. But we are going to continue on with the show, and our topic is lifting the standard in our lives as we move forward in God. We want Him to lift the standard in our life. And what happens when God does that? What happens in your life when God lifts the standard? Lifts the standard. And says, I don't want you to settle anymore. I don't want you to give in anymore. I don't want you to live a mediocre life anymore. I don't want you to live an average life anymore. I'm going to lift the standard in your life. I want you to go for all that I have for you. The abundant life that I promised you in John 10:10. Moving forward towards abundance. Moving forward towards more. Moving forward. That's what we want tonight. And that's what we're going to declare over the airwaves. That's what we're going to speak into our lives. That's what we're going to learn about. The standard that God wants us to set in our life and not to lower the standard. So if you are listening through the computer or on the telephone and you have a sister, you know you might need to email somebody right now. If you know that her standards are too low, you might need to email her right now and just say, I need you to tune into the show. And maybe it's just for you, then you need to call into the show because we want to open up the phone line for you to share. When did you stop lowering your standards? Do you need to raise your standards? Have people been getting away with too much? Too much when it comes to you emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You've been giving in too much, and you've lowered your standards. When did that happen? Can you think back over your life? When did that happen? When did you start giving in and lowering your standards? And you say, this wasn't me. This is not how my life was supposed to be. This was not how my life was supposed to be. I never imagined that I would be dealing with this, that I would be settling for this, that I would be tolerating this. That's not the standard that I want for my life. That's not the standard I want my daughter to see, my son to see. That's not the standard of friendships that I want in my life. And I lowered them along the way somewhere, God, and help me. Help me raise my standards again. And so many times we're afraid to do that because we're afraid to be alone. We're afraid to go through that process. There is a process, a time period from when you stop lowering your standards to when you raise them. There's a gap of time in there where it's scary. You're afraid to be alone. You're afraid that you're going to lose friends. You're not. It's going to be unfamiliar. It's unfamiliar territory. But in that gap of time, that's when your faith can be fortified. That's when you get stronger. That's when you get into the Word of God. That's when you pray your way through. That's when you stand in that gap and say, Lord, you called me to this, to move forward, because you're making all things new in my life, God. Because that's what I want to do. Hallelujah. So as we go into the show, I want to offer up a prayer for God to come into this radio show to bless those who are listening, to open their hearts and their minds, to open their mouth, God, to touch them right now in a way that only you can, God, to speak to them. May your word come forth. May it cut and divide and pierce and comfort and soothe and provide wisdom and guidance and encouragement. May the truth come forth, God, and rest on their breath, Lord. Right now, God, we ask that anything that will hinder and block the listeners from receiving the truth that you will deliver, we ask right now that that be cast into the sea, God. Right now, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment of the enemy to distract us and to disturb us for the next 60 minutes, God. We give this time to you, God. We separate ourselves. We sanctify this time, God, right now for you, Lord, because you're going to speak. Your word is going to come forth. It is going to minister to us in a way that it has never done before, God. And we know that right now. So we open our hearts and our minds, God, and we ask that the word and the seed come forth, God, and it implant and it take root in us, God. So when we lie down tonight, God, that it will grow and germinate and cultivate inside of the soil of our soul, God, and that it will wake, we will wake up in the morning and begin to see it sprouting, God. And we know, Lord, that you, that your word will remain, God, and you will be with us through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are moving forward. We are moving forward. Is anybody else moving forward? Said in 2013, I'm not going back. I have a new standard in my life. God is lifting the standard. In Isaiah, it talks about Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verse 19. It says, when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Lord will lift up a standard and the enemy will flee. The Lord will lift up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. That is the time. You know, many times we lament being under the siege or being flooded by the enemy with hit after hit after hit, and we lament that time. But God says, no, this is the time when you need to count it all joy, because I'm going to lift up a standard when that happens. And so instead of focusing on the enemy, we need to be focusing on the standard that God is trying to raise up in our life. He's trying to raise up in a new standard in our life, a new standard of prayer, a new standard of praise, a new standard of worship, a new standard of giving, a new standard of speaking the word of God. When the enemy comes in, he's saying, you're going to have to raise the standard, raise the bar of all those things that you have been doing. You can't get by with this enemy with that old faith, with that old praise. You're going to have to lift the standard and give me a new praise and give me a new word and give me more word and give me more giving. And so that's what the Lord is requiring of us, lifting up the standard. So as we get into the show, the phone lines are open now, and I want to know from you if there's anyone who wants to share or who has a question about standards, God's standards. I'm going to get into the scripture, and I'm going to share five standards that God has for each one of us, and standards that women should have in their lives in particular. But I want to know from you, when did you begin to notice that your standards were too low? We're going to start there. When did you begin to know that your standards were too low? Have you ever lived with low standards? Have you ever lived with low standards? And if so, what with the consequence of that. Somebody needs to hear your testimony about that. There's no shame here. There's no condemnation here. There's no judgment here. All it is sharing your testimony. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When did you know that your standards were too low? How did you know that your standards were too low, that you were living with low standards, and that God had more for you? God had more for you. So let me get into standard number one. Standard number one, I just posted this for everyone, and standard number one that I believe that all women should have in their lives, and I'm teaching my daughter this early on, even as a seven-year-old. Standard number one, if you are taking notes, no one has a right to physically or emotionally abuse you. No one has a right to physically or emotionally abuse you. That is standard number one. When you become of age to recognize what physical and emotional abuse looks like and feels like, then you'll reckon when it happens, something inside of you will click and say, this is not right. No one has a right to physically or emotionally abuse you. So since no one is ready to share just yet, then I'll open up and I will tell you the first time that I realized and I had to set a standard was I was in high school, and I believe I might have been in the 9th grade or the 10th grade, and I had a boyfriend, and we were walking through the hallway, and I felt someone behind me push me, and my head almost slammed into the metal locker. We have these lockers in the hallway, and you know, and you have the lock on it that you have to turn with a combination, and it was metal and they were blue. And I remember out of nowhere just feeling like something very powerful was behind me and pushing me and thrusting me into the metal door. And for some reason, my hands went up and I braced myself and caught myself before my head actually slammed into the metal locker. And my boyfriend was a joker. And I think he thought that was cute, or I'm not sure, because we really didn't even talk about it after that. But at that very moment, I had a feeling, which was the spirit, that said, this is not right. This is not right. And I don't remember us having a conversation about that afterwards, what we did break up. But I had a feeling that said, this is not right. This is not right. That is not the standard that I have for my relationships. Standard number one, no one has a right to physically or emotionally abuse you, because from maybe a so-called what he thought was an innocent push could have turned into an actual push, could have turned in an actual punch, could have turned in an actual, you know, it can grow, it can escalate. When you settle for one thing and then it escalates into another thing and then it grows into another thing, and then you are in a relation, abusive relationship, and you wonder, how did this begin? And it begins with standards. Begins with standards. And so now we know to teach young girls and women that at the first sign, when the Spirit of God on the inside of you says, that's not right, something's not right, you know that. You know that. Has anyone else ever felt that sign, God telling them and speaking to them and saying, that's not right. That's not right. You know that sign. standard number one. And why is that a standard? That's a standard because our bodies are temples. Our bodies are temples. And that is, you know, we present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. So anything that we are supposed to present as a living sacrifice, as a temple to the living God, that is not something that is meant to be harmed, to be abused, to be misused. That is not something, but the crux is, the most important thing is for you to listen to your inner voice, to listen to that inner voice that says, that is not God's standard. Why don't we listen to that still, small voice that tells us that's not right? Why don't we listen? Are we too afraid of being alone? Are we too afraid of causing friction? Are we too afraid of having an argument? We want to, we want to see the good in the person. Whatever it is, but that is not right. Maybe it's not physically. Maybe it is emotionally. When you hear the person's tone of voice begin to turn, when you, the first time you hear him or her call you out of name, and it cuts, and it cuts. You know what I'm talking about. When it cuts in the gut, and it feels like someone, he hasn't punched you in the gut, but that word he used or how that tone of voice cut you, and you swallow it. That's standard number one. No one has the right to physically or emotionally abuse you. Standard number one. So God is requiring us to lift our standards in 2013, too, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard. And he said that standard, our standard has to be raised, our standard of prayer, our standard of praise, our standard of giving, all of that, we have to lift that up and increase our spiritual discipline so that we're able to resist the enemy so that he will flee. We have to lift up the standard, lift up the standard. So tonight we're talking about lifting up the standard, and the phone lines are open. If you want to call in, it is area code 347-857-3974, 347-857-3974. That is the number to call in, and you press number 1. That is the guest call-in number, and I will get you on the phone lines. So a question for you ladies. When did you start raising the standard, or when did God begin to raise the standard in your life in terms of your physical and emotional relationships, in terms of physical and emotional relationships, and say, no more, no more, that's not right? Does anybody have a testimony about that other than me, who can share and encourage another sister around the globe, you know, talking about lifting up the standard and not settling? Where did it get you? Did it land you in the hospital? Did you end up losing a baby because of that? Did it land you in jail? Lifting the standard. How long did it take you to realize that you had lowered your standard, God's standard, for your body and for your emotional well-being? How long did it take for you to get out? Let me get a caller here on the line. Area code 336-512, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. This is Carolyn.
Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. This is a very good subject. Abuse. Years ago, you were talking about physical and emotional abuse. I know about both. I was married into a physical and abusive relationship, marriage. He abused me several times. I mean, to the point that I was blind in my right eye for a week. I had hair ripped out of my head. And even to my oldest son, was he was bruised in the physical fight. And at the time, I had to reach that point. I think I went through it two or three times until the time I just said, there's no more. I can't take this no more. But we have to set that limit. We have to, it's there, it's on the inside of us, and we have to stand up and say, no more. Because we as women, too, we lower ourselves because we think that, and we think that our love is so, can overcome anything. But without God directing us, He don't never want us to be in harm's way, ever. But we feel like we are superwomen sometimes. And I know in the relationship that I did, and I felt like, because he would make me feel like some of that was my fault. Mm-hmm. He had to do that to me. And it was that mind thing that he had going on that would take me through to make me feel like all of this, I brought all of this on myself. But you never stay into a relationship to where you feel like I didn't love him enough, or I didn't cook something right, or I didn't say something nice enough for him. And that was this spark. I could tell in the tone of voice that it was going that way. And I would be quiet. And then all of a sudden, it still wasn't enough. He still wanted to argue. But the first thing is getting out of a relationship like that, because that is not healthy for anybody. And I just thank God this day that he turned it around for me, because I went through a lot. Mm. In the 4 years that I was married to him, I went through a lot. I was drugged down a hall, threw on a bed, and straddled, and he beat my face. And I want to let every woman know, you do not have to go through that. Being blind, having blood coming out your eye, and your son's tears what woke you up, because you was out, completely out. I thank God to this day that, you know, God has a way of turning it around. I mean, you would not believe my son's dad. Now he's remarried. He is a changed man. But it has to be to the point to where you set it for yourself and let God do the work. But something has to change. Something has to change. And sometimes walking away is the change, because you have to take care of yourself. If you have a child, you don't want your child to be around physical and abusive, screaming and hollering and calling each other out of your names and seeing that type of stuff. That hurts that child physically and mentally. So my testimony is, take care of yourself. Don't allow anyone to put your life in harm's way at all, anyone. Because this life, God gave it individually.
Wow. Women need to hear that. Women and men need to hear that. Women and men need to hear. We can't keep silent about, you know, these things that are happening, especially not in the body of Christ. You know, we sweep these things under the rug. We sweep physical abuse, domestic abuse, sexual abuse. You know, we don't talk about it. And we need to hear it. We need to be preaching on it. We need to be teaching on it. You know, when we teach about holiness, or what, you know, and and we need to be talking about, you know, the body as being holy and being a temple. We need to be teaching and speaking on this, and that's why it's so important that we have women's voices in the kingdom and women speaking their truth in the kingdom. That's why I encourage women so much to open your mouth. Open your mouth, because as long as women are silent, as long as women are silent, these stories, these testimonies, these experiences will be silent when we are silent. And we can't learn from them, and we can't teach the younger women about them, and we can't use our experiences to help somebody else who's going through that situation or who might be getting into that situation. You know, we have to, women's voices have to be heard and experiences have to be heard. So I thank you for sharing that. And that's, I mean, we could do a whole show on just standard number one, but we're just going to skim the surface here. And we have another caller who wants to get in on that, but standard number one. And I began with that your body should not be harmed physically or emotionally by another person, because that will kill you. That can kill you. I don't know the statistic of how many women are killed or children are killed because of physical abuse every year in the church. There's physical and sexual abuse happening in the body of Christ. Of course, we're not perfect, but the body of Christ is the place where we come for healing. Not where we just, you know, we ignore what is happening. That is so important, so important. And woman of God, God is using you. He's using your story and your testimony to help somebody else. Let me get another caller here from 704-231. 704-231, you're on the air. Okay, you can call back in and I will get you back on the air. 704-231, I will get you back on the air. The call was dropped accidentally. So we're talking about lifting the standard. Thank you, Carolyn, for sharing that. Praise the Lord. Carolyn talked about she was blind. She was blind in one eye, hair ripped out of her head, drugged through a hallway, and eventually she had to say no more, and her child had to witness this. Her child was crying, and that's how she woke up, hearing her child cry next to her body. Standard. Lifting the standard. Your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. Oh, my God, that's an entire show. There's so much more that could be said about that. But let me go to standard number two. Standard number two, if you're taking notes. I will not lose my identity to another person. I will not lose my identity to another person. I will not lose my identity to another person. Is that resonating with someone? Is that resonating with someone when you lose yourself, when you don't know who you are anymore, when you don't know what your dreams and your goals are and your aspirations are anymore, when you have forgotten why you were created, when everything begins to revolve around another person, when you eat and drink and breathe and sleep through another person, if they don't call, you are depressed. If they don't see you, you're wondering what's wrong. Whatever you do is subsumed in this other person. You lose yourself, your purpose, your individuality, your uniqueness, your personality, your fire, desire, lost.
I could share, and I know these standards for myself, y'all, because I've been there and done that. I know these standards for myself. So I'm not saying anything I do not know. So I know as women that we do this. I know as women we do this. I will not lose my identity to another person. That's good. That just brings tears to my eyes. That brings tears to my eyes. Area code 336-906. You're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. This is LaRonda.
Hello, LaRonda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all that you have done for me. You have known me for quite a while, and you have seen me, I think, at my lowest. But I thank God for you.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for
Hallelujah. His
ever presence in my life.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for his strength, because he has brought me from a mighty long way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a phrase or a cliche. He has brought me, and he has kept me.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for what he is doing and what he is going to continue to do. God has allowed me to go through some rough days, and it broke me down to the point that I was very depressed, and I lost my hope. I lost my joy.
Yeah.
I lost myself. I can see the change in me. And I made up in my mind, and my journey is not over. I'm still pressing. But I made up in my mind that I had to change for me, because I have a daughter that's watching me.
Yes, God.
And that's so very important, because we don't want to be strong for everybody else and be there for everybody else, and inside we're broken and we're torn down. Sometimes we have to take a step back and take care of ourselves and rebuild ourselves so we can be better to those around us. And that's, for me, that's what I had to do. I was in a situation where I think the point was I felt like I was demoted. I was an assistant manager at a banking center, and a whole lot of stuff was going on. And in the midst of all the chaos, I was transformed from an assistant manager to a teller, which there's nothing wrong with a teller. That's where I started off with the bank. But in my mind, I couldn't understand what was happening. So that was real hard on me. And I kept questioning God, why God, why God. But lo and behold, everybody in that banking center ended up losing their jobs altogether. So it was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to maintain and hold on to a job, and now I'm in a better place with my job. I have moved on, and I'm not focused on a title as much. I've gotten past that, so I know that regardless of what my title is, I know who I am, and I know my purpose. So I thank God for that blessing and that struggle. And there are others. I don't want to take up the whole time, but there's others, and I do encourage all women to reconnect, find your purpose, find your
Hallelujah.
Place, find your way. Love yourself first. No matter what, don't let people tear you down. Don't let people destroy you. Don't let people take your joy. Don't let people tell you you're not good enough. You are a child of God, and you are definitely good enough. And that took a long time coming for me. But I know that I'm not perfect, but God is working with me, and he's building me.
Hallelujah.
Daily.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
It is hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the purpose. That is why I do what I do. That is why I do, that is why I submit to God. Put it that way, because I don't do anything. It's what God does through me. But that is why I submit to God. It's just to see and hear women who are, who recognize that they have to put God first in their lives, and that they have to make sure that they connect with Him first, and that, you know, all that other stuff will work out. It really, 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 really will. That we cannot lose ourselves. We lose ourselves to our work. We lose ourselves to our children. We lose ourselves to our spouses. You know, and we're not supposed to lose ourselves. Not even when we're married.
Yes.
Not even when we're married. We become one in spirit, you know, and we walk in agreement with our spouses, but we're still individuals. We're still individuals. We have to work out our own soul salvation. Our own soul salvation. We're still individuals with a purpose created. God said, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before I appointed you as prophets to the nations, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born,
thank
I set you apart. But this means before you were married. Before you were married, He knew you. Before you were married, He set you apart. Before you had children, you were set apart. Before any of that, before all of that, He had something planned. He had something planned for each and every one of us before all of that. And marriage and a husband and children, that is supposed to enhance what he already has planned for us. That enhances it. And it helps us grow into maturity and to discipline us. All of that does that, and it gives us a life partner to fulfill God's purpose. You know, but it's not supposed to take the place of it, because He knew you before you were married and before you had children. And set you apart, and set you apart. But when we can connect, and it is not selfish, we got to get it out of our minds that it's selfish for us to make God a priority in our lives, and for us to find our true identity in Christ. The way it says, I believe it's in Colossians, that our real life is hidden in Christ Jesus. We're not going to find our real life in a job. We're not going to find it in our children. We're not going to find it in our husband. Believe me, believe me, believe me. I had some boyfriends I tried to find myself in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Women try to find themselves in their children. You try to find yourself in your ministry. You try to find yourself in your service. You try to find yourself in all this stuff you do. It is not about what you do. It's about who created you. It's about who you created you. Our real life is hidden in Christ. And if we seek Him first and get lost and in love with Him, He will show us who we truly are. Who we truly are, and connect back with His peace and His joy. Doesn't mean it's going to all be easy, but what we know is we have a blessed assurance that all things will work together for our good. All things will work together for our good. So standard number two, I will not lose my identity to another person or another thing. I'm not. You can just declare right now, Bank of America, you are not going to take my identity in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't care. Whatever it is, whatever job you own, you are not going to take my identity in Christ. Nothing and no one will steal my identity in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
hallelujah.
God.
Thank you for sharing it. Let me get another caller on the line. Praise God. He is moving tonight. Hallelujah. Area code 336-905. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, my beloved lady, Dr. Michelle. This
hello.
Is Sharon Sullivan calling. And I really give praise for this sister that shared before me, Sister LaRonda. you know, like her, you see me at my lowest point, I think, in my life. And Jesus, Goddess, you know, a song that I meditate to now is Great is Thy Faithfulness, New Mercies I see every morning when I wake up, because not only did I not have a purpose in life, I didn't think that I was worthy. But through God's grace and His mercy and His love for me, He showed me through you and other people that He sent in my life to show me not only am I worthy, that I have a purpose to be a servant for Christ, one of the most highest honors one can have. And, you know, for all the women out there, they need to know it's not selfish to love yourself. When you let love God and you let God show you who you are, that's when you become whole and can be able to love your husband unconditionally and your children unconditionally. You truly can't love anyone until you love God and let God show you how to love yourself.
Hallelujah. So we thank you, Sharon, for sharing that. We are talking about, we are in standard number 2, I will not lose my identity. Have you ever felt like you lost your identity?
I didn't even know that I had one.
Hallelujah.
I didn't know I had one. I thought I was created for everything else, and that was my identity. I didn't know I had one. I didn't have a purpose except to do what I did, and I wasn't, something was missing. But I didn't feel I was worthy to have one. And, you know, and I realized that I'm not there now, but there are women that are walking around, and on the outside they look fine, but on the inside they don't know who they are, what they are, because for so long they've been playing these roles that they don't know that there's a self in there. And for a long time that was me, but now it's not, through God's grace, and I thank Him for that. I love my relationship and what it's growing into with God. It's the most precious thing in my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I never had peace in my life. I didn't even like myself. I would look in the mirror and not like me because I didn't know who I was. And what I did know about me, I didn't like. And today I can look in the mirror and love me for who I am and see improvement and appreciate myself enough to take the step to improve for me. Because when I do that for me, I'm doing it for everything connected to me. And I'm learning that today. And you're a big person. You're one of the people that helped me learn it, Dr. Michelle. I love you for that. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I love you and praise God. So Sharon, you said something that is very important. I think that other people need to hear as well. When I asked you about losing your identity, you said, I didn't even know I had one. I didn't even know I had one. And you thought you were created for this other stuff, for other people. Some people might feel like they're created. They might feel like they're created really just to be used or to abuse or to be, to be a pawn in somebody else's life. But you're created for God's purpose and a specific identity in Christ Jesus. Specific identity in Christ Jesus, fearfully and wonderfully made. In Isaiah 49:16, it says, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands.
Amen.
He knows you. Yes. He engraved you on the palm of his hand. He knows you. He has hidden you in Christ.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Hidden you in Christ.
Thank you, God.
And unfortunately, when we grow up in this world, there's so much other stuff through media, through stuff on the street, whatever it is, even in our homes, that seeks to mold our identity before we have an opportunity to know our true identity in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's why it's so important that we start early with our young, with our youth,
yes.
and sharing with them and
yes.
showing them and teaching them and modeling for them ourselves that it is through Christ that we really find out who we are, in Christ
Amen.
Jesus, that we find out who we really are. You know, one of the things that that is also on my heart is seeing women who, you know, who really grasp in desperation to be something and to be someone or to hold on to a life that they think, that they think they're supposed to have. And when you have to work, when you have to, let me get this right, when you have to work by might or by strength to hold on to a life that you're trying to create for yourself, when it's constantly, you know, causing you to work really hard, to obsess over it, to causing you headache, when it's causing you stress and anxiety, when you fear you're losing something and you're trying to hold on to it, that is not the life that Christ Jesus has for you. The life that he has for you doesn't take all of that. Yes, you're going to have to put some time and some energy into it, but it's by his Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that you come into the fullness of who God has called you to be. It is by the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord opens those gates and opens those doorways so you don't have to hold on and grasp on so tightly and end up looking desperate because you fear losing this identity that you've created for yourself. Women try to hold on to men like that, and they end up looking desperate. They try to hold on to jobs, or they try to hold on to, you know, or the ministries or whatever it is. Some of you might know in some churches, you know, there's people who work in certain ministries for years and years and years, and they don't want anybody else to do it, you know, because that has become their ministry. But see, God says that that's not what you're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be discipling other people, and he'll take you to another level. So you have to lose your life in order to gain your life. Lose the life that you think that it's supposed to be yours so that you can gain the one that he really has for you. And that one right there, you don't have to manipulate. You don't have to curse nobody out. You ain't got to be fighting about it. You ain't got to be stressing about it. All you got to do is walk through the door. Walk through the door and let the Spirit of the Lord guide you. Let the Spirit of the Lord guide you. Your real life and identity is hidden in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Phone lines are open. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing that. Hallelujah. Phone lines are open tonight. We only have about 12 minutes left, and hopefully we're going to get through our other standards. But we have been talking about lifting the standard in your life. Standard number one was no one has a right to physically or emotionally abuse me. You cut it off the first time. The first time, if you need to go get help, you need to get counseling, but you got to make it plain and you got to make it known that this is not tolerated in my life. Standard number two, I will not lose my identity to another person. I will not lose my identity to another person. I ended up doing this in college to somebody I was dating before my husband, losing my identity. And when you lose your identity and your self-esteem, that is just really, I really was pitiful. Just to tell y'all the truth, I was pitiful, downright disgusting and pitiful, you know. And it takes a while for you to get it back and your self-worth. And so don't go there. Don't lose your identity to another person. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Christ has an identity just for you that is hidden in him, and it's not going to come from your works. Your identity is not in your work. Your identity is not in your ministry. Your identity is not in your spouse. It's not in your children. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. All those other things help enhance and help give you fulfillment, but they are not your identity. If Alabaster Woman Ministries goes off the air, goes off the internet, whatever it does, I still have an identity in Christ Jesus. I really do. So find your identity in Christ Jesus. See where he's trying to take you, and I guarantee you it is bigger and grander and greater than anything that you have or could imagine, anything that you could imagine. The last thing I want to say about that is when you try to hold on to the life, to the fantasy that you have created for yourself, and you think this is what I'm supposed to be doing, when you try to hold on to that life for yourself, like I tried to hold on to, I thought that I was, you know, I was a professor in college and I had this grand idea about who I was going to be and stuff. And when you try to hold on to that, it is going to end in disaster. You're going to crash and burn at some point. You really, really are. You got to crash and burn. God wants to use you in a way that he has designed. Let him tell you. Let him tell you. Let go. Let go. Surrender it. Give it up. And let God. Let God. Let God. Don't fear being a nobody. Don't fear being irrelevant. Don't fear being a nobody. Find who you are in Christ Jesus. There might be a gap of time where you feel like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. If I've given it all up, if I stop doing this and stop doing that, and, oh, my, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Christ, he'll show you in Christ Jesus. He'll open doors. He'll make ways. He'll blow your mind. He'll show you who you really, really are. Praise the Lord. And then standard number three, if we can get through them all, standard number three. My home is my sanctuary. Standard number three. My home is my sanctuary. Lifting the standard. When you are old enough and grown enough to have your own home, declare it to be a sanctuary. Declare it to be the place where you go for rest, where you find peace, where you have joy, where you meditate on your purpose. My home is a sanctuary. Declare it, bless it, anoint it, pray in it, pray over it, and refuse to allow anything or anyone in your home that would contaminate your sanctuary. Anything that is unholy needs to find its way out of your sanctuary. My husband and I, we don't have a ton of visitors to our home because it is a sanctuary. When we do, it's because we have specifically invited them in our home. We know who is coming. We know the spirit that they're bringing in our home. We know why they're there. We know when they're leaving. We know who our child has over. We know that because our home is a sanctuary. My job is in a sanctuary. You know, somebody else's home is in a sanctuary. But my home, the place where I lay my head at night, the place where I'm intimate with my spouse, the place where I pour into my child, this place needs to be as close to Eden as possible. This place needs to be as close to Eden as possible. So in addition to that, in addition to those who come into my sanctuary, it has to do with those who call our telephone as well. Those who email as well, because, you know, your home, your email and your telephone and all that is tied to your sanctuary. It has to do with the what's on television and what's on the radio. It has to do with all of that. My home is my sanctuary. I can't let you in if you mean us harm. I can't let you in if your standards are too low. I can't do it. I can't take your phone call. I can't engage with you like that anymore. I can't let you, I just can't let you do that. I can't let you do that when you're trying to disrupt my marriage and my lifestyle. I can't let you do that in a gentle and nice way, but I just can't let you do that. So if you find me a little distant or something, because my home is my sanctuary. My family belongs to God. And I can't let you contaminate or disrupt what God has going on here. My home is my sanctuary. Standard number three. Phone lines are open. We have 5 minutes. If anyone else wants to get in, this is the time to do it. Area code 347-857-3974.
347-857-3974. From area code 646-373, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine. Welcome to the show. How is the show speaking to you tonight?
It's speaking to me in a lot of ways. Like before, I could really relate to what Sister Sharon was saying. I think that's her name.
Uh-huh.
About just her identity and, you know, a lot of the things about how she really didn't like herself and, you know, she tried a lot of different things and finding her identity. And I feel like I'm kind of in that place right now. I've shared with you before that I didn't grow up with my parents, and I kind of still, at times, feel that void of, like, that loneliness and even me being, you know, in another state and everything. And I'm really active in, you know, my church home and just in doing a lot of other things in ministry. But recently I feel like I've been kind of distracted with this guy that I was talking to. And I feel like in that situation I really did lower my standards a lot. As far as, you know, the Bible says about not fornicating and stuff like that. And, you know, and even though this person was saved and everything, I felt like, all right, I'm going to do this because I'm going to try and keep the person. And, you know, in the end, that obviously didn't work. And so I'm in this place now where I'm trying to, you know, heal from that and try and move forward. And, you know, it's hard because I guess my question is kind of like, what really, I guess I'm searching for, like, what really is my, you know, my purpose in being, what does God want me to do here on the earth? Like, how does he want me to impact where I'm currently at? And, you know, and I don't know, just, I have a lot of questions for God, but, you know, I know that sooner or later it will all make sense. You know, the Bible says all things work together. So I'm kind of in that place now where I'm trying to let go of that relationship and, you know, just move forward in what God has for me.
That's good. That's good. And you are in a good place. For so many women who are listening, if you are in your 20s, that is a, you know, and I'm going to tell you the truth, Jasmine, I really didn't find my identity in Christ until my early 30s. I really didn't. In the 20s was an exploration time. You know, there are seasons, and during that season, you know, in the 20s, you explore, and you explore the right way, of course, but you explore, and you meet new people, and doing all of those things, and it's, and for me, it happened in my 30s when I began to settle and find my true identity in Christ Jesus. Even though I got married young, I got married when I was 21, you know, both my husband and I don't believe that we really found, you know, who we really are and what we were supposed to be doing until our early 30s. So it's going to come, and it sounds like that you are in a good place with that. And I will say this, that fornication and other behaviors that draw us or pull us further away from the standard that God has for us, that only prolongs the time. That only prolongs the time it takes for us to find our true identity in Christ Jesus. And it really hinders that progress. So just be aware of that. Just be aware of that. That it prolongs that season. It prolongs the season. So there are other ways that you can feel that longing other than, you know, giving your body over to somebody you're not supposed to give it over to. And I know that you are a bright woman and you know, after searching after God's heart, and you will return to him as always. You never left him, and he's never left you. And you're going to get there. You're going to get there because you keep searching. You keep searching. And he loves you. He loves you, and so do I. And I believe that you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now, meeting new people, loving God, serving God, and, you know, just trying to remember those behaviors that can hinder and slow you down from finding your true purpose in Christ. There's some things that we do that can slow us down from that process. So thank you so much. It's good to hear from you. It's good to hear from you. Remember, it's your creator. It's not who raised you. It's who created you. We have a similar story. So, and you can get to that point. It did, and I tell you, it really took me. I was in my 30s when I got to that point. I really was. So I understand what you're talking about. I understand the feeling of feeling like something is missing or feeling like you don't really know. And that is natural. That is completely realistic and real. So feel it. Don't try to block it out. Feel it and take it. Take that in your worship with you. Take it in your worship with you and begin to thank God for the people who were there for you and for the ones who you didn't know but who decided to still give you life, who decided to still give you life. So feel it. Feel it. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you shouldn't feel that. You shouldn't be thinking about that. No, ma'am. Go on and deal with it. Go on and feel it and let it do it and cry it out if you need to and whatever it is. And then go on and rejoice and get into the presence of the Lord. Get into the presence of the Lord. I love you, and I praise God for you. Praise God for you. We are out of time. We are out of time. I am going to share the other standards on the blog and on Facebook. So you can get those on the blog and on Facebook. But this has been a wonderful show tonight. We have five standards. And these are just the five that God has been speaking to me about, and you can have your own. But I'm going to share the other two on Facebook and on the blog with you. And I thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and I pray that the show has been a blessing for you. And, like, again, I encourage you. My joy is getting women and seeing women who decide, make a determination that they're going to put God first. And then the other thing is that they're going to, that they are willing, bold enough, courageous enough, and secure enough to surrender, to let go of the life that they think they're supposed to have, that they fantasize about, that they have planned all out in their date book, on their calendar, all this stuff that they think they're supposed to be doing in life, and to say, Lord, have your way. Thy will be done in my life. If you don't want me to have that job, I don't want it. If you don't want me in that ministry, I don't want it. If you don't want me with that person, I don't want it. God, I'm giving it all over to you. I surrender it. I'm going to sit here and be still until I hear from you, until you open the door that I am supposed to walk in. That's the life that I want. That's the life that I want. I tell you, so many women come to me or call or email or, you know, and they're in desperate states, and I can see them, and I know when they, God has given me a pretty keen eye, you know, spiritual discernment to see and to tell when women are in a desperate state, when they're grasping after something that they feel like gives them life, but that's not really the thing that they need. And so I ask them and I pray with them and I encourage them to let it go, to let God, and to find out who you really are in Christ Jesus. I tell you, you're going to crash and burn if you keep running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to do this and do that and do this and hold on to that and make that person change, make this person change, make this person like you and that job and this boss and all that stuff. You're going to crash and burn. Crash and burn. I see it. Don't let it be you. It happened to me. That's how I know. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And the new standard is the one that God would give you, and you'll be able to rise up to it and walk in it, not by might, not by strength, but by His Spirit, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'll see you online, and everybody have a good night. Bye-bye.